All right, good to see you guys here. The cooks have made it in. All right. Aunt Debbie. Of course, I don't call her Debbie. I don't even call her Deborah. That is Daisy. Isaac, Addie, and Daisy. But it's good to see you guys here. Let's just jump right into this. And I'm going to review a little bit and then hit the third point in this. We are continuing today in our new series called Together. And we're going to have four parts over the next several months. And you know, if you've been here with us a couple of weeks already, that we're talking in the month of May, we're talking about the thought of gathering together, that we are here to gather together. It all starts with this. We cannot be together in all of the other areas if we're not first gathering together. So that's where we're starting. Next month, we're going to look at pray together. And then in August, we're going to look at worship together. And then in September, serve together. But right now, we're in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Okay, Dennis, I'm just seeing Dennis is saying pray for his son, Joe. He's at UNC. So guys, let's pray for Joe. Lord, just pray, coughing up blood. Lord, just pray for Joe right now in Jesus' name, that you would touch Joe and that, you would bring whatever it is that's causing this issue in his body to stop, and do it in such a way that Joe knows that it is you that did it, and that he gives you the credit and the glory and the honor, Lord God. And if he needs to, come back with you, Lord, and that he'll do that, Lord. Just touch Joe. Be with Dennis. Be with that family, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so gather together. Let's look. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. We've already looked at two parts. Today is the third and final part for this verse. And then we're going to go to a new verse for our final gather together part of that series. So, the first one, we start out verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And then down in verse 25, but exhorting one another was kind of included in verse 24 in our first sermon. We talked about being the right people, who should gather together. Now, not going on over everything, but we were talking about that Sunday, about not just who you are in Christ, because Christians should gather together, obviously. But the main part that we were talking about on being the right people is, are you willing to become, are you willing to be the right people for Christ? Because once we get saved, we become the right people, but it's still a process of becoming the right people for Jesus. It's the process of letting go of me for we. And that's what we talked about. Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to mature? Are you willing to give yourself to being a disciple? Because there's a lot of people that say they believe in Jesus, but they are not disciples of Christ. And we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. And so are we willing to become and be the right people? Or do we have that mindset, well, I just am who I am, and take it or leave it, like it or not, this is just who I am. Or are we willing to say, okay, I'm a Christian, but now God, make me and mold me into the right person that you want me to be. And so that's what we talked about, the right people. And then verse 25, we got into the second part, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. So we talked about the right people, who should gather together, and then we began to look at the right place. Where should the right people gather together? And three things we said real quickly. Number one, they should gather at the church. Now, the church is not the building. We talked about anytime God's people gather together, we should be meeting with them. We said, even if it's in the Sam's Club parking lot, then we should be at the Sam's Club parking lot meeting with God's people. When the right people actually gather together, that is the right place for you to be. The second thing we talked about, once you get in the right place, the right locale, the right, you get amongst the right people, then you need to get in the right position in the right place. Find your place within the family of God, and then and get there and do what God has called you to do. We need you in in, not only in the right place, but we need you in the right position in the right place. And then the third thing we said about the right place is in agreement with God and His Word. In other words, it's not just, hey, I'm a Christian, and then you live your life however you want to. Being in the right place is living in agreement with God and His Word. There's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but do not line up with the Word of God, do not live according to the Word of God, and so that's, it just doesn't work. And then today we're getting into the final part of verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That was back in the first part, and here's the last part. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So much the more as you see the day approaching. So today we're talking about the right people in the right place at the right point. And just keep in mind, every time I say the right point, what we're talking about, the right point in time. So the right people in the right place at the right point in time. And so the question that we're looking at today is, when should the right people gather together at the right place? What an awesome question, especially for where we are at in the world today. And we're all, people are starting to think about, okay, gathering back together. I know a lot of churches that are starting today. I know several that are starting next Sunday. I know many, a whole bunch, really, more so that are starting the first Sunday in June. And then I know several churches that are waiting on into July even to start. It all depends upon their readiness and where they are as a church body and whether or not they have all of the necessary tools and people in place to be able to handle meeting together again and all that it's going to take to sanitize the building and keep people safe and do those kind of things. So, but I want you to know, we're talking this question, when should the right people gather together at the right place? We're looking at it more broadly. And even though it's broad, it is going to be fairly specific, but it's not so much about being back in this building together as much as it is the end time church and meeting together. And then finally, what we'll look at next Sunday is the right product. What happens when the right people gather together in the right place at the right point in time? So today, though, here's our question. You ready for it? Here's our question, and I promise you this is going to go pretty quick once I get started on this, because it's just not a lot of in-depth stuff on this point. When should the right people gather together at the right place? When should the right people gather together at the right place? So I'm going to ask this question, and I'm just going to answer it very quickly in about three simple statements. When is the right point in time for the right people to gather together in the right place? When is the right point? Are you ready for this? This is huge. This is big. This will be something that you're not quite ready for, I don't think, this morning. This will be something that you probably never heard before, and it's just going to shake you and rattle you and just rock your world today. When is the right point? Now. I had to look at my wife so I can at least get a little bit of response, because I can't get a response from y'all, but I can look back at my wife and see that she just gave me a little smile like, yeah, I knew that. Now, when is the right point in time for the right people to gather together at the right place? Now. Now, some of you would go, okay, well, then let's start meeting at the church again. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is, again, remember, because we said the right place is anywhere God's people gather together. If we're gathering together right now online, if that's where God's people are meeting together, then we need to right now all be together. We need to be right now, all of us that can, on Facebook right now, listening to the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, so that we can receive the Word of God, so that we can be discipled and become the right people, so that when we go out to pray and worship and serve, we're ready for all of these things. So now is the right time. Right, and not just now, because you can say now, and that still can be somewhat indefinite. Now, I'm gonna jump on this train for just a second. Like, man, you ask your wife, hey, how much longer? I'm about ready, right? I'm about ready now. I'll be ready now. We're gonna go now. And it may be 10 more minutes. It may be 15 more minutes. Some of you may be a little bit longer than that. So now can be indefinite. So when is the right point? Right now. It is always the right point for the right people to gather together in the right place. Anytime the right people are gathering together to meet and talk about God or fellowship or be discipled or iron sharpening iron, it is the right time. Church, now is the day and now is the time. We are not promised another day. We're not promised more time. Now is the day, now is the time. You've heard that old saying, carpe diem. Seize the day. Church, it is time for us to seize the day and quit waiting for everything to line up perfect and quit waiting for everything to get just everything just like everything just so-so. How many of you like everything to be so-so? I like everything to be just in the right place at the right. But there are times when we cannot do that. We need to seize the day. Now is the right point for the right people to gather together in the right place. We don't have a lot of time left, church. We just don't. So let's break it down even more so in the actual scripture, though, and what our verse is for today. When, remember I asked this question, when is the right point in time? It starts off, that scripture starts off with so much the more. In different translations, it reads it different ways, but one translation reads it, so much the more. Now is the right point for the church to gather together, and now get this, so much the more. It's not only the right time for us to gather together right now, but what should be happening is it ought to be happening more and more, not less and less. Church attendance in the days that we're living in should actually be increasing instead of decreasing. Now, I've been through some pastor meetings and read some articles about all this stuff that's going on with the COVID and all this junk that's going on and everything that's happening. I've been through the meetings about when should you gather together. And I've heard some that say you got to jump on it right now. And I've heard to the other extreme that says it is still too early. I understand that they're going to Home Depot and meeting in that aisle and all that stuff. I get all of that. Here's what we're seeing, though, guys. Whenever church attendance was declining before this, and then we had all this happen and everybody went online and it was something new, and because of the uncertainness of the day that we were living in, everybody just jumped in immediately. They just jumped in immediately to this online stuff because they're like, man, this is cool, man. We can sit at home on a Sunday morning and we can sit in our pajamas. Or if you're like Paul and Franco, you can lay out on the floor and put a pillow under your neck. And or like Sarah. Sarah doesn't have to get dressed up. She can just get in her chair and her hair's all everywhere. I'm just kidding. I don't know if Sarah's hair's all everywhere. And you could just sit and watch. And so it was new. And so statistics are showing, and there are churches that have, and pastors that have been interviewed, that for the first month or so, man, their attendance was up. But you know what we're seeing now? You know what a lot of people are seeing now? Is they're seeing it decline. And I know some people go, well, that's because people want to meet together. They weren't meeting together before. It's because the storm, although we are still living in the storm, the storm and the urgency of it has kind of died down a little bit. People aren't quite as fearful and quite as scared. They're not quite as concerned that this is the apocalypse, that this is the end. And so they're kind of going back into just, well, if we make it, we make it. If we don't, we don't. Well, we've got something better to do today. You know, we've got other things that we could do today. And so what we're seeing, even in this online attendance, is we are seeing that it's declining. The church attendance is declining. So much the more. Guys, when is the right point for us together? More and more as we see the day approaching. Church attendance should be increasing, not decreasing. But instead, we're seeing a decrease in church attendance today. Why? The cares of this world are still creeping in on us. I don't care where we are. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what's happening, where your heart is where your heart is where you're going to be at. And church attendance is excuse me, my mouse got stuck on something. Church attendance is decreasing. And the cares of this world are creeping in again. And even through this, and it's no longer cool to sit at home and watch church on a Sunday morning. And it's not that big of a deal anymore. And people that we hadn't seen in church in a long time, and then we saw starting to come to our meetings, now that's starting to fade away again. And people are starting to, well, you know, if I make it to church today. And it's not like you have to go anywhere. You go to your living room. So when is the right point? All the more. So much the more. When is the right point for the right people to gather together in the right place? So much the more. It should be increasing. Let me just ask you this question. Is what keeps you from gathering together with the church really worth it? Whatever that is whatever it is that keeps you from checking in online or when we actually gather by, is whatever it is that keeps you from gathering together with the church, is it really worth it? Because, you know, you read ahead, you know what the rest of this verse says. It's not just, okay, look, they want us to gather more and more just because they want us to gather more and more. There's a reason why it should be increasing more and more, why we should be gathering together more and more. Because there is a day that is fast approaching. Amen, Lois. Nothing is worth it. The closer we get to the end, the closer we get to the day of the Lord, we ought to be gathering together more and more because nothing else is worth it. Nothing else is worth our focus. There is nothing worth it. Church, don't be pulled away from gathering together with the church, however they gather. If we continue to gather through Facebook Live, or if we switch and go to Zoom so that everybody can talk at the same, however we gather together, it ought to be increasing for us if you believe that the day is coming closer. Now, if you don't believe the day is coming closer, then you go do what you want to do. You go live however you want to live. But I think the day is getting closer. It ought to be increasing our attendance. So much the more. Let's get back. When is the right point in time? So much the more is the first part. So it ought to be increasing. As you see. As you see is the next part. So what are we talking about? Church, keep your eyes on the prize. Do we gather together just so that we can feel better? Do we gather together so that we can count and have a certain number? I know some people think that's why we do it. Do we gather together so we can just collect money? I'm tired of seeing people on Facebook talking about the church wanting to gather back together and people being ugly going, well, the only reason they want to gather because they want your money. Man, y'all have been still giving money even though we're not actually meeting together. It doesn't have anything to do with money. That is just dumb. It ought to be because we know the day is coming and we have our eyes fixed on the prize. What's the prize? Maybe a better question is to ask, who is the prize? Because it's not necessarily a what, it's the who. Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Stay focused on the right thing. Keep your eyes as you see. If you're not looking at the right kingdom, if you're not focused on the right thing, you're not going to be aware when the kingdom comes. The Bible talks about Jesus himself. Two will be in the field working. One's going to be focused, even though he's working in the field, on the right kingdom, on the right thing, on the prize, and one's going to be taken and one's going to be left. Two will be doing this. One's going to be taken, one's going to be left. So, folk, we got to stay focused. Don't let, I already said it once, but don't let the cares of this world creep in. Don't be focused on the wrong things. Don't be focused on the wrong kingdom. Because we're living in the last days. I know there are some that do not believe we're living in the last days. That's fine. We're concerned sometimes about the wrong things and the wrong kingdom. And guys, look, where you look is where you go. Where your focus is, as you see. If all I see is the things of this world, that's where I'm going. But if I can keep while I'm living in this world, if I can keep my focus on Jesus and my focus on His promise and my focus on His return, if I can keep my eyes focused on those things, then guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. My focus is going to be on Him. Church, stay together and fulfill His purpose. Let's keep our focus on the right kingdom. When is the right point? Let's keep moving in this scripture. I told you it's going to be quick today. When is the right point in time? It's so much more as you see the day. And I want you to notice in your Bible, if you've got your Bible open today and you look, that word should be capitalized. Day should be capitalized because it is talking about a specific day as you see that day approaching. In other words, we ought to be living in such a way that we can see that the day is getting closer. And the day that we're talking about is simply the day of the Lord. Now, we could get bogged down, and I did a little bit of studying on this, and there's some disagreement on the day of the Lord, when it took place, and all of that stuff, and blah, 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 this, that, and the other. But I don't want to get bogged down on that today. I want to just simply say this. The day of the Lord is coming, church. I don't care what anybody else tells you. I don't care what anybody else believes. And there's a lot of people believe that the day of the Lord has already happened. A lot of people believe that that the majority of it, 90, 95% of it's already happened. There's some that believe 100% of it's already happened. That's fine. That's fine if they want to believe that. That is absolutely fine. But we don't believe that. To me, to believe that puts me in a state of unreadiness. It puts me in a state of ease and relaxation. And I don't think Jesus spoke anything about that. And I don't think the epistles spoke anything about that whatsoever. Are you ready? Do not be deceived by any that would say that He has already came. If you look in the epistles, Peter and Paul and different ones through the epistles speak about that even in their time, there were those that came and were beginning to say that Jesus had already come, and some of the church was getting worried and concerned and thought that they had missed it. And they had to be warned. No. Many will come and say, there is the Christ, there is the Christ, or you just missed the Christ, or He's already come and you missed it. You have not missed it yet. You want to know how I know you have not missed it? The world changed dramatically at the first coming of Christ, and it's never been the same, right? The first coming of Christ dramatically changed the world forever. Guys, at the second coming of Christ, the world is going to be dramatically changed forever again. And it's not been changed like that. The last time I went outside, Cherie, is the sun shining today? It's not darkened. The sun has not been darkened. The last time I went out on a full moon and looked, I could still see the moon. The last time I went out, there's still stars up in the sky where I can see the stars. These people that tell you that it's already happened, this replacement theology junk, it's not true. It's not true. The last time I went to the ocean, it's still the ocean. The last time we went to the lake, it's still the lake. It's not blood. The last time Cody Collins went fishing, which as I'm sure was recently. Cody, that water was still clear, wasn't it? And you still caught fish, didn't you? These things have not happened yet, church. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to read two scriptures today, and then we're going to close this out. The first one I want to read with you and just walk through for just a second is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Please, if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want you to turn there with me. I want us to look at this together, and we're going to close this out. And I see some of you commenting false prophets and Emma, as only Emma can do, baloney. I don't know if it's spelled like that, but I get you, Emma. That's awesome. But my daughter corrected me last night on one of my spelling. It made me mad. So, Emma, I don't want to make you mad. I'm sorry. I don't spell good either. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, guys. Turn to 1 Thessalonians, and ladies and girls and men and women, boys and girls, whatever, people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I just want to start reading this, and as the Lord leads, I'll stop and speak about some of this stuff. If you have a Bible like mine, in sections, it gives you a bold type description of what that section of Scripture is talking about. And in the Bible that I have, I've got a New King James Version I'm reading from today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, right above that, it says the day of the Lord. He said all and so much more as you see the day approaching. And this chapter in Thessalonians talks about the day of the Lord. Now, here's the thing, guys, that's going on. You know, one of my favorite passages is in the previous chapter, the end of the previous chapter, chapter 4. It's talking about people who had thought that that Jesus had already come back. The rapture had already taken place. They're thinking that, man, we missed it. And that's where Paul gives them the speech about how the end is going to happen, and specifically that first phase of how it's going to happen, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and that the Lord will meet them together in the air. How do we know that's the first phase? Because we know that the second coming of Christ, Jesus Christ, is going to come and touch his foot on the earth. So this says he's in the air. But let's read in chapter 5 and keep moving. But concerning the times and the seasons, we should be able to see the day approaching. We will never know the exact day, but we should be able to see the times and the seasons and the warnings that the day is coming. Brethren, you have no need that I should write you. Verse 2, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Again, talking about nobody's going to be able to tell when it's going to happen. Nobody's going to be able to nail it down. Nobody's going to be able to say, he's coming right now. This is when it's going to be. Nobody's going to be able to say, well, it's going to be in 2000. Well, it's going to be in 2012. The Mayans and the Mayan calendars ends in 2012. The world's going to end in 2012. I know AOC recently said, well, if we're not careful, in 12 years, the earth is going to die because of all this stuff. Nobody knows when. It's going to come as a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety. Guys, there is a whole movement in Christianity that is pushing for and claiming that it is the church's job to usher in a season of peace and safety. No. Jesus has already said it's going to get worse. The season of peace and safety isn't going to happen until after the second coming of Christ. And then we have the 1,000-year reign. And even still, he's going to let the devil out after 1,000 years. And there's going to be one more battle. That's going to be an easy battle, but still, it's going to be one more battle. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. They. Understand what he's saying here. Look at this. They shall not escape. He's not talking about us. They. Those that are not ready. Those that are not living according to the Bible. Those that are not promoting and speaking the right things. They shall not escape. Verse 4. But you, brethren. Is that you? It's me. You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. In other words, we should always be ready, and we're not living in darkness. The world's getting dark, the world's getting bad, but we know Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back, so that the day should overtake us as a thief. You are all sons of light and as sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We should not be surprised by these things, church. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That's the same thing Jesus said. Be alert. Watch. Be ready. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let those who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as the helmet of the hope of salvation. Listen to this verse right here. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that tells you that during the wrath of God, Christians were going to have to experience the wrath of God are not reading this verse, and they diminish what Jesus Christ did on the cross. They cannot at one time preach everything in Christ, all of Christ. You got to know that it's all been done, and then also say that you're going to have to suffer the wrath of God. You're going to have to suffer some of that. Now, we will suffer persecution from the world. We will suffer tribulation. We will have to go through hard times and difficult times, but never the wrath of God. Who did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. Church, the day is coming. I don't know how long it's going to be. I'm not sitting here today telling you that you better get ready, because in the next week, Jesus Christ is going to come back. But He could. So we got to be ready, church. When He came the first time, the world has never been the same again. When He comes the second time, the world will never be the same again. We have not experienced that second change in the world yet. We haven't. It's not happened yet. And so what this whole thing is telling us is this. Put it all together. When is the right point in time for the right people to gather together in the right place? When is the right point? First thing we said is right now. Don't put off to today what needs to be done tomorrow. Now is the day. Now is the time. We need to be gathering together every chance we can get. And the closer we get, the second thing, the closer we get to the day, the more we should be meeting. It's not just right now, but it ought to be happening more and more as we get closer, not less and less. If your relationship with God can handle meeting less and less with the people of God, your relationship with God might not be as strong as you think it is. Your relationship with God, the closer we get to the day, should need more and more, because the days are evil. The world is in darkness. We're not in darkness, but the world is in darkness. But the longer I go out there and hang in that darkness and I don't get around light, man, I'm hurting. Third thing is don't get distracted in these last days. Don't get pulled away from the blessed hope. Don't get pulled away from the blessed hope. And then stay focused, church. I had a whole section on this. I was going to talk about this, and I didn't. I took it out. Stay focused. What do we need? We need some patience. We lack patience. I know, especially today, right now, there's a lot of people that are just ready. They're chomping at the bit. Let's get back. Let's just get back. Let's get back. I've told you all along, we're going to err on the side of caution. It was not an easy decision to not have church, and it's not an easy decision on when is the right time to come back and actually physically be here together, because I'm going to answer for it. Nobody else is. And there's already a lot of discussion about the church's liability if we come back and something happens. Who's going to be liable? We will be. I will be. So we've got to be patient, and we've got to practice perseverance. We've got to endure to the end. So what I'm saying is this, church, when is the right point to gather together? Right now. Every chance. Wherever the church is meeting, we need to gather together. Now. It ought to be happening more and more. We should be gathering together more and more as we see the day approaching. We cannot be distracted. We cannot be pulled away. And listen, when we gather together, we cannot be impatient. We cannot be impatient about this. We can't go, well, pastor told us together, so within the next week, we should be seeing something. We've got to be patient. We've got to practice perseverance. The Bible says in Acts that only he who endures to the end will be saved. We can't just gather together and go, okay, we're here. Let's go. Let it happen. And we're going to see this when we get together next week. Now, I know 10 days is not a long time. If we knew, okay, we'll gather together for 10 days, and in 10 days, the promise is going to come. We'll see the product. We'll see the end. We'll see the fulfillment. We'll see all of that. That we'd probably gather together. But what if it's 10 years? Be patient. Get together. Stay together. And increase it. But be patient. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to end with this morning. And don't get used to a short sermon, but enjoy it for today. Look, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. Look in verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, who's that? That's us. Do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So when Jesus Christ says at the end of Revelation, "Behold, I'm coming soon," and John wrote that sometime around 90 AD. A lot of people say, no, he didn't. He wrote it before 70 AD because it fits the narrative. Just like I'm sure they'd say it fits our narrative to say 90 AD, but the first century church in 100, 200, 300 believed in the imminent return of Jesus. They believed in the imminent return of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Behold, I'm coming soon." And we see those things, and this generation shall not pass away. And we see those things and we go, okay, well, it's got to happen immediately, right? That with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God's not held by time like we are. But verse 9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness." Because some people go, well, why is he waiting so long? Man, he's just gotten lazy, and he just didn't want to do it. But the Bible says he is long-suffering towards us. Do you realize that if he already came back, there'd be a lot of people that'd miss out? If he came back 40 years ago, I might have missed out. But he didn't. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Verse 10, look. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." Church, we're still living in this. Nobody knows when. These people saying he's already come back. Come on. If he's already come back, then a major portion of the New Testament absolutely does not apply to us and was written for nothing. It's just dumb. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away." You still see the sky, guys? Still see the clouds? "The heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Now, I know it gets hot out there, but ain't nothing melted yet. "Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." Has that happened yet? No. "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Since these things haven't happened, but these things are going to happen, how should we be in holiness and conduct, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? We ought to be looking for it, church, and hastening. We ought to be gathering together more and more, getting together, because God is coming back soon. "Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." All of this is coming to an end one day, but it hasn't yet, which means he hasn't come back yet. Verse 13, "Nevertheless, because it hadn't happened yet. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The right people in the right place at the right point in time. I thought of Esther and the story of Esther this week. For such a time as this, God has put us here. Make the most of every opportunity, church, and redeem the time, because the days are evil. So the right people in the right place at the right point, and then what? We wait. We wait. Patiently and with perseverance, we wait. What do we wait for? Well, obviously we're waiting for the day of the Lord. But until then, we're also waiting for the right product. The right people in the right place at the right point, and then we wait. And that wait is not inactive. That is actively waiting, doing what we're supposed to be doing, but waiting for God to bring the right results. For the church now, until he comes, and then the right results to take us away when the right time comes. And we're going to look at that next week, the right product, and look at that and talk about that next week. Continue to have a heart to want to be the right people, to get in the right place at the right point. When we are the right people in the right place at the right point, God will take care of the right product. The right results will begin to happen. And then we can pray together, worship together, and serve together. Lord, I just ask you to help our church family. Help us to not be deceived in these last days and not to be pulled away from the blessed hope that gives us the ability and the hope and the desire to continue to live in these horrible days, knowing that our God is coming and knowing that we are not under the wrath of God anymore because of the cross of Christ. Jesus paid the price. Help us to be the right people in the right place at the right time. And Lord, let us get ready for the right product, and let us be patient for it and wait for it, continuing to do the things that you've called us to do. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.